Grace to you, mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God we consider tonight is from the gospel reading that we just heard from Mark. At the end of an episode of CSI, I don't really watch, but this one I did see, Grissom, one of the main characters, talks to Dr. Gilbert and talks in American Sign Language. He tells her that his mother lost her hearing when she was 8 years old, and he once asked her what it was like to be deaf. She told him it was like being underwater. Being underwater. Now, we can't all relate to being deaf, but we can probably all relate to what it's like to be underwater, and especially when we were kids, how much fun it was to have that transition where 1 minute you're above the water and there's sound all around you. There's birds singing and the sound of the other kids playing Marco Polo, music playing, but all you have to do is hold your nose and dip below the surface and all of that sound suddenly fades away. We all know what that's like. But then as soon as we come back to the surface, the water pours out our ears and we're surrounded by sound once again. Imagine an existence that seemed like you were always underwater, though, and you could never come to the surface. This was the world of the deaf man that we heard about in Mark's gospel today. He was not only deaf, but mute. He had a speech impediment. And like us, the people in the crowd that day probably didn't know much about this guy. We don't know how long he's been deaf or why he's deaf. And maybe they wondered the same thing. Why is this? Why is he deaf and mute? What did he do to deserve this? I thought God, when he created everything, looked at it and saw that it was very good. Did he overlook this guy over here? Is this man unloved? In any case, people in the crowd, or maybe this man's friends, saw his need and they responded. They brought him to Jesus. Now, as we look at the world around us, we see that there are all kinds of needs, all kinds of suffering. And we may similarly wonder why that is. But we respond to the needs of others the best we can, right? With prayer, with medical attention, with compassion. All around us, we see evidence that the world is fallen. And that which God originally made very good is no longer very good, but has been corrupted. And sometimes this hits really close to home, because each of us individually suffers from something. Who of us hasn't been affected by cancer in some way? Or who of us hasn't known someone who's been afflicted by a disease for no apparent reason? My cousin Casey was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when she was 8 years old. Same age I was when I got it, coincidentally. Normally, she takes pretty good care of herself. She checks her blood sugar 5 times a day. She tries to keep a balanced diet. And she's even participated in camps where she's been a counselor that provides an example and help to younger children that have diabetes. But every once in a while, she gets fed up with having diabetes. And she gets angry and frustrated. She finds it unfair. And I remember one time just a few years ago when she renounced her diabetes. She pretended it wasn't there and decided, that's it. I'm not testing my sugar. I'm not doing shots anymore. That's enough. She remembered how life used to be. And she longed for the time when she didn't have to stick her finger, when she didn't have to constantly be giving herself injections or have that insulin pump attached to her skin. She remembers how it was before she had to count all her carbohydrates and before she had to turn down Nana's delicious apple pie on Christmas. She remembers the crispness of the sounds that could be heard when she was above the water. But like that deaf man, she couldn't come to the surface. Now, of course, she had to go to the hospital, And she snapped out of her rage and she had to go back to her regular regimen. But at times, we all reach a point of frustration. We find ourselves drowning in those things that oppress us, our diseases, our overwhelming responsibilities, relational problems that have spun out of control. We can see the surface of the water and we so long to swim towards it, but we just find that we can't. We would love to deny or ignore or run away from those problems, but it doesn't do us any good. Like the deaf man, there's nothing we can do to escape the realities in which we live. Though we can't escape from the reality of suffering today, we see one who comes to us in the midst of that suffering. Jesus returned from the Gentile region of Tyre and Sidon to the familiar shores of Galilee, where he had accumulated quite a group of followers, this crowd of spectators. And suddenly, Jesus looked out and saw this small group of people approaching him, and I'm sure before they even got close, he perceived their need. There's a man who can't hear, who can't speak, and he comes to me for help. And Jesus went through this kind of peculiar ritual with the deaf man, right? The friends got him there, and Jesus took him aside privately so as to give him his full, undivided attention. And then he went through this thing. He put his fingers in the ears of the deaf man, he spat, and he touched his tongue. Now, when we've seen Jesus do other healings, when we've read about that, sometimes it's merely touching the fringe of his cloak that brings about healing. Sometimes Jesus just has to say one word, and it's done. But this is a kind of a different one. Why does he have to touch the guy and spit and touch his tongue? Well, if you imagine this from the deaf man's perspective, if Jesus were just to say, "Be healed," it would come out just as clearly as it would to someone speaking to us while we're underwater. He couldn't have heard it. Jesus spoke to this man in a language that he could understand. This deaf man could feel the touch of Jesus' fingers in his ears, could feel him touching his tongue. He saw him look up to heaven and pray to his heavenly Father, the source of his authority. The deaf man saw the word embodied for him. And the word of Jesus was powerful for him. With the embodiment of that word, the deaf man's ears were opened. And the first thing he heard with his renewed sense was God himself speaking. Ephatha, be opened. In other situations, it was different, but in this situation, Jesus personalized it for this man. His Ephatha opened his ears. And like surfacing from underwater, the sound came rushing back into his ears, and it was so crisp and so clear. And just as God once saw that all that he had created was very good, when these crowds saw that Jesus had restored this man's hearing, they exclaimed, "He has done all things well." The very same word used in Genesis. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. When Christ came into creation, he brought the reign of God with him. He is the fulfillment of today's Old Testament reading from Isaiah, where we read, "Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped." The ears of those present were blessed ears, not merely because they heard Jesus say this Ephatha. They had already read God's word in the scripture, but they were blessed ears because of the declaration that the age of salvation was now finally among them. It had come to their ears as well. The time of salvation had come and God's reign was finally coming to earth. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus inaugurated this reign of God on earth. But where is it? Aren't we still trapped in the frustrations of a fallen world? Yes, we still live in a world of hardship and sin. But our God has perceived our need. He saw that we were deaf to his voice, helplessly trapped beneath the surface, drowning in our sins. And so he sent his son. And Jesus plunged his arm into the surface of the water, and he pulled us out. Christ grabbed us in the waters of holy baptism. Christ's word there was just as powerful and effective for you as it was for that deaf man. In the font, Jesus took you aside personally, individually, and he spoke to you. He brought you up to the surface, and the very first words that you heard as a renewed child of God were the words of God himself. Not Ephatha, but I baptize you. I claim you. I love you. The deaf man was immediately healed by Jesus' word, and in baptism, his word immediately made you and me new people, washed from sin. We are free from sin's power. We are beloved of God. And yet those thorns in our flesh still afflict us. My cousin's a baptized child of God, but she still lives with diabetes. So what difference does it make? The difference is now we live on the surface. We no longer have to wonder whether God has overlooked us, whether God cares about us or loves us. We know that God loves us. We know that he has come to give us life and life abundantly. The signs and miracles that Jesus performed give us a foretaste of the glory that is coming to all of us. We sing often, "The Lamb who was slain has begun his reign." Alleluia! Jesus has begun his reign, and we get to be part of it. The reign will reach its fulfillment when Jesus finally comes again. We know he will come again to make all things new, and that's why we can sing praises to God even in the midst of this fallen world. The day of resurrection will be for us the greatest surfacing experience that we have ever had. But until that day, we have this hope living in us that causes us to proclaim with that formerly deaf man, "He has done all things well." Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to confess our faith using the Apostles'